The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to the Picture Book Look podcast. I'm Kim Chafee.
And I'm Kirstie Call. Together, we'll share some of our favorite picture books and chat with their creators to explore the journey from story idea to bookshelf.
We'd love you to join us as we take a picture book look.
Hey, Kim.
Hey, Kirstie.
Kim, did you just cut the cheese?
No, that definitely was not me. I promise.
Are you sure?
I promise. It was not me.
Okay.
I would tell you. I would be honest. It was not me. But speaking of cutting cheese, I need you to please share your story about cheese and your grandfather, because I think everyone needs to know this story. Let's bring a little joy.
Okay. So my grandfather loved cheese. He just loved it so much. And he was a microbiologist and he did studies with cheese and invented cheeses. And once he even ate only cheese and apples for a couple months. He was just certain a person could subsist on cheese and cheese alone. Only cheese.
Cheese and cheese alone.
He lived 18 days shy of 100 years old. So all that cheese eating must have been very good for him.
Wow. Well, maybe there is something to that cheese diet. I don't know that I'm going to try it myself, but I guess to each his own. I think if your grandfather was still alive today, he would definitely love today's book. Pew, the stinky and legendary gift from Colonel Thomas S. Meacham, written by Kathy Stefanik Ogren and illustrated by Leslie Breen. Spoiler alert, the gift is a massive wheel of cheese.
Oh my goodness. I love this book so much. We're excited to talk with Kathy and Leslie. Let's get started.
Pew! Pew. So, Kathy, we're going to start with you. Again, we love this book. It's so, so fun. Where did you get the idea to write this story?
Well, first of all, I want to tell you, it's great to be here. And thank you very much for doing this.
Of course.
Okay, idea for the story. I was probably on doing a critiqued Zoom when it was over. I walked into the living room. My husband happened to be watching the History Channel. So I heard the word cheese and I'm going, cheese. I love cheese.
Yeah.
So I sat down to watch it and it was all about a 1,400-pound cheese that was made by Thomas Meacham and given to the president, and which ended up with a stinky smell. And I thought, wow, this would really make a good picture book. So I was hooked, and that's what gave me the idea.
Wow.
I love that.
I love that. It's so amazing that we can find ideas from anything.
Yes.
I was very happy the History Channel was on.
You know what? It's a great place for ideas. And that's something I tell kids too, because my first book, I got the idea for that watching TV as well. I was watching the Boston Marathon and Catherine was on. So I tell kids all the time, you can even get ideas for books by watching TV, which they love, of course, because kids love watching TV. So
yeah, I love that. So Leslie, what made you want to say yes to working on this project?
Well, when I first read the manuscript, I just thought it was so fun and interesting. It was fascinating. And it was about a moment in history that I hadn't realized had happened. And I was laughing. So I immediately was like, okay, I can see this. I can see the characters. And I have a background in historic preservation. That's something that I studied when I was younger. So that also, I was like, I can see the buildings. I can see the clothing. It resonated with me. And it was something that I wanted to illustrate.
Well, that's perfect and fascinating that you had all of that background knowledge.
Yeah, yeah, it was perfect. Architecture, I was like, oh, yes, the White House.
Right?
Yeah.
Wow. That's amazing. Well, I'm a history nerd myself. That's what my major was in college. So,
oh, yeah.
This is so right up my alley. Like you said, this little tidbit of history that you've never heard of before.
Never would have known
about. It's just so fun. It's just so fun.
Yeah.
Kathy, like we said before, being your critique partners, we've seen many different versions of this story. And I have to say, Kathy, you are amazing at rewriting a story like almost completely from a new point of view and just really making it fresh. And it's just as strong as like the previous version. I don't know how you do that, but you're amazing. So this story has had a few versions, all amazing.
Agreed.
Yes. Can you share with us a little bit about what your research process was like after seeing the History Channel bit and then what your writing process was like for the story?
Well, the first thing I did was to look to see if there were any books written about this event in history or slice of history. And I found one that was written about a big cheese, but that was a cheese given to President Jefferson way back then. And so then I found another one that was a chapter book that was like an early chapter book that was written about the big cheese that went to Andrew Jackson. But it wasn't a picture book. I thought, I'm going to do this. So my first try was a fiction. And I had Grover Cheeseland, a little mouse, being a narrator at the White House.
I have to say, I loved that version.
I know, I do.
Well, actually, my agent really liked it too, and it was fun. There was a lot more wordplay in it, cheesy wordplay in it. But it really didn't go anywhere. The editors said that they really liked the history part of it because I had the history woven into with Grover and his tourists. But they said that they didn't like the a mouse as a narrator. So I'm going, okay, let's try something different. And so I did more research and I decided to make it a nonfiction book. And I started out with a nonfiction book, wrote it, sent it to my editor, decided, and we worked on it. It was getting rejections again because Andrew Jackson was kind of a questionable person in history because of his legacy. So rewrote it one more time, taking all of the references to Andrew Jackson out, like the Hickory Tree or his nickname, Old Hickory. And actually the press was made out of hickory wood. But anything that had to do with the president, I did take out. And after that, it did sell.
Interesting.
It's so interesting to learn about what entices an editor and what keeps them away.
Yeah. And really, truly, the story is not about the president, right? So taking him out doesn't really change the story at all. What a story of perseverance on your part, Kathy, just continuing to go back and believing in the story and knowing that you had something there, that this was something worthy of being published and not giving up on it. So I love that. I think that's fabulous. I'm so glad you didn't give up on it.
Thank you.
Yeah, me too.
I think it's so important. It's so important to know that you can rewrite just because you get rejections. It has no bearing on what might happen in the future if you're willing to just be flexible and rewrite and rethink the way that you've approached a story. I love that. So, Kathy, do you have a specific writing schedule? And what do you do when you're stuck?
Okay, when I write, I get up in the morning, have my breakfast, and then I come into the office and I do like the busy stuff, you know, the emails that you get, and then I will sit down to write. Right now, a lot of it's being taken up by promotion of the book.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's a good thing.
Leslie should know that too. But I spend my time doing that. And if I do get stuck and I can't figure out what to do with something, I go downstairs on, go to the treadmill.
Ooh, I love it.
And I get on the treadmill and I hold onto the handles and close my eyes, and just let my mind wander. And a lot of times things really work out that way. So that really, that's kind of how I get unstuck.
So. That's brilliant. Right. I love that because, and that's helpful because even if someone doesn't have a treadmill, they can go outside and take a walk, right?
But don't close your eyes when you go outside.
No, that wouldn't be good. That wouldn't be a good combination there. Leslie, back to you and your art. I think that the pairing of this text and art are, I mean, stellar. It's just so perfect. There's so much to see on every page. You've done such an amazing job. I was noticing like the chicken on the dog. Like, how fun is that? It's so fun. You've added so much humor in your art. Can you share with us what your process was like for the book?
Sure. Yeah. The little details like that, I have so much fun with. Those are the little nuances that you don't always, they're not necessarily integral to the story, but they add so much more. With the process with sketches, you know, at first I really take in the story, really observe, you know, what Kathy was saying in the text and try to imagine the world. I do thumbnail sketches. So, I'm a strong believer in what you all were just saying about go and take a walk. Don't think about what it is you're supposed to be thinking about for a little bit and let it kind of ruminate in your mind. And that's where ideas oftentimes come. I also do a lot of research, like visual research. So I learned a lot about cheese making, going to the library, looking up some things, and also just online. There were some wonderful videos about cheese making. And then I started looking into old photos. And I know Kathy at one point had sent some photos to the art director and editor as well. So we went back and forth a little bit in that way, which helped to narrow down certain things we were thinking about, which I found helpful, and started looking at costumes. What were the type of costumes and clothing they wore in the day? Architecture. What were the, you know, colors of the buildings? And, you know, I drew upon my background with that. I knew I'm like, oh, they were actually quite colorful back then. People often think they're white, but they were yellow ochre and blue and reds. I know with the White House specifically, it had changed quite a bit throughout history. In 1803 to 1820, which is like the time period we're looking at, there had been quite a bit of changes with the facade. And so all those things factor in when you're doing a picture book biography, which I find fascinating. I get really into that. And then you have to kind of pull yourself back in, like, oh yes, enough with the research, and now yes. Back to
I'm always so impressed by the research that an illustrator needs to do for nonfiction and attention to detail.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you also want to make it fun too. So you're like, okay, this is like the research side of it. I love, and then it's like, all right, with sketches, like, how do I want this to translate to kids in a fun way? So you do put in like the technique and the style that you do matters, and the colors, but also like those little elements like you were talking about with like the chickens and just different ways the characters, you know, the different expressions they have on their faces, that sort of thing, you know.
Which are hilarious. Hilarious.
So good. This is such noses. A good.
Oh my goodness.
I know. I love so that much humor. Spread. That's such a good spread. So yeah. Leslie, do you create art every day? And what's the hardest part of illustrating for you?
Yeah, I definitely do. I'm always sketching and drawing. I think even when I'm not, when I take a lot of walks, I have a dog and a couple cats. I have 9 chickens.
Ooh.
All these characters come into the book in some way or another. My dog is black and white, so a little bit like the dog in the book. But yeah, when I'm taking walks, I find that's always a great way for me not to think about what it is I'm supposed to be doing, which then I think makes me think about it even more. So the ideas kind of creep in, and then I'm like, ooh, you know what? You know what would be a great idea? And also sketching. I'll sketch, you know, when I'm at the beach or when I'm taking walks. A lot of times I'll have a sketchbook with me. I'm also a product designer, so I do a lot of stationery and greeting card work. So when I'm not sketching for books, I'm sketching in that sort of way. So I think, you know, probably the hardest part of illustration is sometimes trying to hone yourself in and say, you know, what is it that, you know, I want to focus on today? You know, my schedule is probably similar to Kathy's in some senses where, you know, you kind of get a lot of the busy work done at the beginning of the day. And then you're like, all right, what's on my plate today? And so I think for me, sometimes it's just focusing, you know, and not being too scattered.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Staying focused. That's hard. I think that's hard for a lot of us. I'm curious if you have a favorite spread. Kathy, you too. Is there one particular spread in the book that you just gravitate towards?
I love the one, the big stink one where it stinks and the swirl going through it.
Yes.
That is great. The other one is I really like the cheese, the cheese making. And I know that we went around and round about how it was because it was really difficult to find how they made cheese and especially that size of a cheese way back when. And I mean, you can only find so much when you're doing your research. I loved the way it turned out.
Right. Oh, that's so great to hear. That's what I would say too. That's one of my favorites is the cheese making spread. And when I first read it, that was actually, you know, Kathy was describing the cheese making process and I'm thinking about, you know, what you want to do visually. And I was actually fascinated with that. Just figuring, I didn't know what went into cheese making and then trying to figure out how that would have come about years ago too. Cause I saw some things online about cheese making nowadays, but then how would they have made it back then? So it was really interesting. And so that's one of my favorites just because it tells a story like within the story about,
right.
You know, the cheese making process. The other spread I really like was the spread that's behind me, actually, the final piece that I worked on. And it was one where I was like, all right, the book has to get out, you know, you're running against a deadline. And it was actually one of my last spreads, but I really liked it. There, you can see a little bit there. Mm-hmm. It's like, it was the map of when the ship took the cheese down to Washington. And I found that was a spread that kind of ties it together with what was happening and what a great feat that was to actually get this
so true.
Cheese to where it needed to go. Yeah, it was amazing. And all the different people along the way.
I love that spread also. I also really loved the back matter. There are so many interesting. So first of all, both the facts and the illustrations, again, are so well done. They work together so well. And I loved the facts, especially the one about how stinky cheese smells like stinky feet.
That's one of my favorite ones.
Because the bacteria is similar. I was like, ooh, I'm learning new things.
That's fantastic. Right. You're not so only true. Learning about this big wheel of cheese, you're learning other multiple cheese facts. Leslie, my favorite spread is the same as yours, the one that you have behind you. And so anyone that's watching this on our YouTube channel will be able to see it. But what fascinated me about not just this spread, but even like the cheese making spread page is just how creative you had to be in order to include so much information in one page spread. And not make it look overwhelming or disconnected. I just like the way that you came up with how to depict the rivers and the buildings and all of that, and just have it be so cohesive and engaging is. I'm so in awe of illustrators. I really, really, truly am.
Thank you so much. That means so much to hear because I think those are the things like. Kind of behind the scenes that you are working through in your sketches and you know, you go back and forth with the creative director was wonderful, you know, back and forth with the sketches and how do we think it's going to work? And that's something that, that, yeah, that I thought felt came together really well. I felt like that kind of was able, I was able to do that on one spread and then work it onto the next spread. And it was able to bring it to like the big wheel where you see the giant cheese suddenly. And it's like, oh, this is what they're doing. And a lot of sketching and going back and forth, you know, with your diving back into your sketches and doing multiple scenarios of different characters. And
you did such a good job with that and showing the emotion and the expressions on the characters and the humor. That's one thing I really love about this book is that it is so funny. You know, history is not stuffy.
That's true.
That is one thing we learned from this book.
That is very
wonderful to hear. That I think is what we were trying for. And
yes,
and the text most definitely, I wanted to make sure the illustrations were as fun as the text was, because it really was such an engaging and fun story. And so, yes, all the characters and the faces and right down to like the dog, like, you know, trying to make him, he was definitely a little character I tried to bring throughout the story. And the mouse, there's a mouse that's hidden into most pages of the story. So I was hoping that kids, I know like when my daughter was little, she would see, you know, Gold Bug, you know, in the Richard Scarry books and try to point it out. And so at the very end, you see the mouse. And so it's interesting to hear what your other story had been, that there you had a story about a mouse character, because I think he was pretty important in this story as well. Yeah,
that's so perfect.
That's very interesting, because I wanted him to a mouse to be still a part of the story. And so,
yeah,
I love what you've done with
you're on the same wavelength. You didn't even have to
talk.
Love
it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It was so, it was
I love
perfect. It just resonated with me.
Yeah. So we have one more question for both of you. And we're going to ask you first, Leslie, when someone reads this book, what do you hope they feel or learn?
Well, I hope that they learn that history can be really fun. You know, that's, I think, one of the main points is that, you know, wow, this is like such a funny story. And one of the things I thought when I first read it, and not to be stereotypical, because it could be a boy or a girl, but like a lot of little boys, I thought might find it fun, or kids that like to play around with humor, you know, stink jokes and that
sort
of thing.
Yeah,
stinky humor. Like, I kind of thought like that's, you know, that's something that I thought they would find engaging.
Definitely.
Kirstie and I engaged in some stinky humor actually right before this interview. So I think it's
yes, we did.
It so does. Right. It so does. And when you hear our intro, you'll know what I mean by that. Kathy, how about you? When someone reads this book, what do you hope they feel or learn?
Oh, well, the first thing I hope they enjoy it. And I hope that they do see the humor in it. And then also realize that American history can be so interesting. I mean, it can be funny, it can be sad, it can be a lot of different things. And then the last thing I think of when I think of Thomas Meacham, I mean, his idea of this huge thing, he had imagination. He was also he had a lot of showmanship. But I hope that they realize from this that you can always dream big.
A big thank you to Kathy and Leslie for joining us today and giving us a look into the creative process for Pew, the stinky and legendary gift from Colonel Thomas S. Meacham. Check out the show notes to learn more about Kathy and Leslie. Don't forget, subscribing to the podcast ensures you won't miss an episode, and we would love it if you would leave a review. Thanks for listening, and
happy looking!
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.